Dr. West, for that introduction. I'm a PhD student at Virginia Tech trying to wrap up my dissertation basically as we speak. I'm working on orchard grass persistence problems, which have been observed in the mid-Atlantic. Orchard grass is a perennial cool season forage, which is thought to be long-lived and often lasts for 6 or 8 or 10 years. But recently has been dying out more quickly. And the way that I learned about this problem is I'm 2 generations away from the farm, and my grandfather grows corn and beans and orchard grass hay in Pennsylvania. And when I was in high school and then in undergrad and then working on my master's at Virginia Tech, he was complaining to me about persistence problems in his orchard grass and would send me back to Blacksburg after Christmas break or something and ask me to figure out some answers about why his orchard grass wasn't growing as well as it used to. And I couldn't come home and give him any better answers, and so decided I needed to do some research to see if we could investigate. So a little bit more on this orchard grass persistence problem. We estimate that there are about 1.1 million acres of orchard grass growing in the mid-Atlantic, Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, and Pennsylvania. It's used both for pasture and also harvested for hay, and that hay is valuable for the equine and dairy industries. We'll mostly focus on hay production here. And producers have experienced reduced yields and reduced stand longevity, and so that means being able to only take 2 cuttings rather than 3, or 3 rather than 4, and stands dying out in sometimes as short as 2 or 3 years and needing to be replanted. And when we do a back-of-the-envelope calculation on that, we estimate that those two factors together could be costing mid-Atlantic orchard grass producers on the order of $90 million. And so I've been doing a variety of things to try to investigate this, and we've been thinking through the causes and the main factors that are associated with persistence of cool season grasses, and think about 5 main important factors, and their interactions probably together drive the persistence. And those are soil fertility, pests and diseases, harvest management, questions of timing, cutting height, and frequency, climate being temperature and moisture and variability thereof, and also competition, and that's competition with weeds, with legumes that we might plant with them, and also intraspecific competition from the orchard grass itself. And so we've been looking at a number of these factors in various different ways. In this one experiment, we're looking at an interaction of 2 of them, and that's harvest management. And in the relatively recent past, we've seen some changes in harvest management practices. In the 1980s, almost all commercial hay producers switched from using a sickle bar mower to using a disc vine. And those disc vines will mow right through rocks where a sickle bar mower would get broken if it hit a rock. And so producers can achieve lower cutting heights if they want to, and that can improve the yield of a single harvest, but we know that cutting cool season grasses too close to the ground is decidedly deleterious for them. And the other factor that we're interested in here is climate. We know that the climate's changing. It's slightly warmer in Virginia now than it was 20 or 30 years ago, and that both changes the phenology of the orchard grass plants, the timing of flowering, also has effects on the carbohydrate reserves and the capacity of this cool season plant to photosynthesize. And some other folks have sort of thought the thoughts about interactions between temperature and cutting height. And in Massachusetts in the 1960s, some folks were investigating nitrogen rates and cutting management and found that with relatively high nitrogen rates and low cutting heights that stands would die out quite quickly, especially when conditions were hot. In Virginia, Roy Blazer and one of his PhD students hypothesized the same thing about tall fescue systems. They only had 2 site years of data and didn't find conclusive results from that experiment. And then in a turf system in creeping bentgrass, another C3 grass species, some scientists found that increasing cutting height by just 1 millimeter improved photosynthesis, reduced soil temperature, and improved turf quality. And so there's some evidence that the effects of cutting height and of temperature can be important to the regrowth of forages. And so we decided to do an experiment in environmentally controlled chambers to investigate these 2 factors. We grew orchard grass in the greenhouse Benchmark Plus and watered it daily and fertilized it with Osmocote Plus slow-release fertilizer. The plants were allowed to vernalize and then grow to the early heading stage just prior to anthesis. Plants were then cut to either 2.5 centimeters or 7.5 centimeters and moved into growth chambers at either 20 degrees Celsius or 35 degrees Celsius and allowed to regrow for 11 days, and we made a number of measurements of both of the stubble and the regrowing leaves during that time. Here are some of the measurements that we collected. In the stubble, we looked at non-structural carbohydrates, both water and ethanol, soluble carbohydrates and starch, some nitrogen compounds, including soluble protein, amino acids, inorganic nitrogen, and chlorophyll. And then in the regrowing leaves, we measured photosynthesis with a LICOR system, transpiration and stomatal conductance, looked at chlorophyll fluorescence, chlorophyll content, and then also regrown biomass. I don't have time to talk about all of these today, but we'll just tell you about four of them, the water-soluble carbohydrates, that inorganic nitrogen, photosynthesis, and also regrowing biomass. We'll start with the biomass, because that's really the important thing we're concerned with in agricultural systems. And on the vertical axis here, we see regrowth, and that's in grams of dry matter per plot, and then our four treatments with the cool temperature and high cutting height all the way on the left in dark blue, and the high temperature and low cutting height all the way on the right in red. And this responds, these plants have responded basically the way that we would expect them to, with the least stressful conditions, the high cutting height and the cool temperature regrowing the best, and the two high temperature treatments regrowing much less. And when we look at those plants just as plants, we see that same sort of story in terms of the length of those leaves and the biomass that has regrown. And so let's look at a few other parameters. We'll look at photosynthesis next. And so we have photosynthesis on day 3 and day 11 using those same colors we saw previously. There wasn't enough leaf area present at day 1 to clamp the LICOR onto it. But we can see that on day 3 that there's both a cutting height and a temperature effect. That cutting height effect is one that we would expect, that the quantity of resources, the nitrogen compounds and carbon energy in a 2.5-centimeter stubble versus a 7.5-centimeter stubble would supply fewer nutrients to that to those regrowing leaves. And so these patterns also follow chlorophyll content pretty well, and we see better, higher levels of chlorophyll both in the high cutting height treatments. And the reason that the high temperature treatment has better photosynthesis is a little bit unexpected and unusual, but I think I can explain that later. But then we see at day 11, those cool temperature treatments are photosynthesizing at a much higher rate than are the high temperature treatments, and that 2.5 centimeter, 35 degree treatment is severely stressed. And then we'll look to soluble carbohydrates in that stubble. And soluble carbohydrates can be a little bit sort of nuanced to understand because it's a balance of energy production from photosynthesis and also of growth. But we'll look at them here. And we looked at those relative to day zero values. Because we started with different parts of the plant, we looked at the relative change in those. On day 1, you can see that we have cutting height and temperature effect, sort of a similar pattern to what we saw with the photosynthesis data. It's a little bit more sort of complicated on day 3. And on day 11, we see some level of rebounding of those carbohydrate contents, but with a fairly extensive variability. I expect that if we had carried this experiment forward for another a week or 10 days, we would have seen full recovery of the carbohydrates, especially in the cool temperature treatments, and likely more differences in the high temperature treatments as well. And then the last graph that I'd like to show you is of ammonium plus nitrate, the inorganic nitrogen compounds, again in the stubble. And we see this cutting height effect where there is a greater reduction in the amount of ammonium and nitrate in the low cutting heights than there is in the high cutting heights on day 1. There's no difference on day 3. And then on day 11, we see a real accumulation of ammonium and nitrate in the high temperature treatments. And I've been puzzling through why that happens, and it is, again, a balance between uptake of these compounds and their utilization for growth. We know that there's significantly less biomass in those high-temperature treatments, and so there's been less utilization of ammonium and nitrate. But I also think that It's likely that physics are at play here, and the rate of reaction and mineralization in that organic material in those pots is probably breaking down appreciably more quickly at the high temperature, and likely supplying more inorganic nitrogen as well. And so there's a little bit of a confounding factor that I think has showed up here. And for some conclusions, we see that swards harvested in cool conditions may better tolerate low cutting height than in hot conditions. And when air and soil temperature are high, it dramatically slowed regrowth regardless of the cutting height that we used. The increased soil temperature likely increased nitrogen availability in this study, though we didn't measure that directly, but that increased nitrogen didn't ameliorate the stress that was caused by the temperature or cutting height treatments. And finally, I expect that these results would vary to some extent based on orchard grass variety and the morphology of those plants, as well as their carbohydrate metabolism, soil fertility, and disease and pest pressure. We have some real disease problems in orchard grass in Virginia and have no real control solutions. And so I think if a sward were heavily diseased, that would affect these results dramatically. But that is all I have, and I will take some questions if you have them. What am I telling my grandfather? Why is this lower persistence occurring? I think it is likely due to the lower cutting heights caused by disc mowers, and probably varies from stand to stand. People will want to think that there's one overarching cause of this problem, but I think it's likely varies from stand to stand and is interactions of those five factors. We do see more disease. I don't know if we see more disease, but we do see often we'll go into a field in the middle of the summer and see half of the leaves be senesced on the plants or necrotic from fungal pathogens. And so I think a combination of those factors and a slightly warmer world all interact together to cause decreased persistence. Yes? Can you repeat that question? It's a question about
by two factorial, so you're able to control both.
Yes. We did this experiment. So the question was, were we able to control temperature independently of cutting height and vice versa? So we designed this in a factorial, so there were those four treatment combinations. Most of our statistical analysis was looking at the difference in the treatment means rather than the effects and the linear effects and interactions of those cutting heights and temperatures. If that makes sense. So yes, we can look at it both in both ways, that sometimes see effects of cutting height depending on the parameter or effects of temperature depending on the parameter, sometimes with a significant interaction and sometimes without. Yes.
This was done in a greenhouse. How would you reflect the response of me out in the field where those shorter heights now are not only exposed to that and in temperature, but solar
yeah.
as well?
So a question about how we translate this to the field and in a controlled chamber, the temperature is controlled sort of thermostatically rather than by the sun. I think that's an important factor. One of the interesting things that I've been thinking about associated with cutting heights in the field is the quantity of shade that's left in those stands. And when we cut to a higher height, we leave more plant material and it ends up being cooler at the soil surface. Whereas when we cut these very, very closely to the ground, it can be appreciably hotter. We did an experiment that we found that for every 5 centimeters we reduced the cutting height, the temperature in the top inch of soil increased by 3 to 5 degrees. And so I think that would be an effect that we would see out in the field that we don't quite see here in this control environment.
I think that's all the time we have. Great. Thank you very much.